Thank you, Lord. Wonderful, wonderful time of worship this morning. Do you know, I'd have just come for that.
Yes.
I would have just come just to be with him together. There's something about being with the Lord together that's very different about being with him on your own. And there's a real manifest presence of God here this morning. And I believe God wants to do some wonderful things in all of our lives. And I know what he is doing is also wonderful. I'm just going to share two things this morning. The first is going to be quite brief, but of course the most important, because it's about what God is doing. And I want to share really what I know to be true as a leader, in the hope that we all kind of get on board with what God's doing. Because the Lord doesn't want any of his people to be spectating or to be totally unaware of what he's doing. And last weekend we had people baptized. And we've all been, particularly as leaders, we've been astounded at the work of grace and the testimonies of those who were baptized. Every single one, all of them, gave a testimony in such a way. If you weren't here, I'm sorry you missed it, really, because it was extraordinary. It was quite extraordinary what God did and is doing through their lives. And God is moving in and through the church and in the world in an unusual way. This is unusual. And I know some of you I've heard say, we've never heard things that we heard last weekend. Never heard new believers speaking about some of the works so quick and so amazing, the work of grace in them, and in young people as well. Just remarkable. And you'll know, if you know anything, that only God can do that. Don't you? You know that. That's God. And we need to identify what God is doing so that we can partner with him in what he's doing, rather than sit on the sidelines and say, how nice. And there is a move of God beginning here and all over the country. I just need to say that again. There is a move of God beginning here and all over the country. People are coming to Christ in new and powerful ways and on the increase. And on Monday morning, I sat with the Lord early and I just said, Lord, I'm just going to give thanks. I said, I can't think of anything else to do. And I started to pray with thanksgiving early on Monday morning. And after praying, it's always quite good to be quiet, because when you stop talking, he starts. Don't know if you've ever tried that. It's a hot tip. You stop, he starts. And he said, my work is going to mushroom. Now, that's a very unusual word to hear. You won't find it in the Bible. But you will find it in what happened in the New Testament with Jesus, how he went to a well, met one woman. She became a believer. And she, because of her history and relationships, went to tell the men. I thought that's really interesting, because the women wouldn't listen to her because of her lifestyle previously. The men would hear her. And so they decided to come out. They probably brought their families to hear this Jesus. And the whole city believed. That's called a mushrooming of salvation. And mushrooms grow in the dark, don't they? And everywhere, all over this nation, people are coming to Christ, popping up out of the world and into the kingdom of heaven. And this is what a mushroom effect is. Mushrooms grow very rapidly. They expand. There's an expansion quickly, and there's a huge increase. So that is what God is doing. And I know it's an unusual term, but sometimes God gets our attention by using unusual words. So that those of us who've been around a long time won't just hear there's a move of God. They'll hear there's a mushroom effect. And you'll start to think differently about what God is doing, the work of grace that's happening, the move of the Holy Spirit in and through the church to the world. Before I bring the message, the main message today, I'd like us to pray into this mushroom effect. Because the mushroom effect, God wants people who are participating in it, not just here, part of a church. He wants people who are going to add to this effect. Because God needs everyone. There isn't one believer that God doesn't need. God needs every believer to be aware of what he's doing and to join in and play a part in what he is doing. And the worst thing you could do is stay spiritually asleep in this season, because you will miss out of participating in this great move of the Spirit that's about to happen in our nation. It's only the beginning, but it needs fueling in prayer, and it needs fueling by our own relationship with the Lord, our personal time with Jesus and his word, so that we're not devoting ourselves to everything else but the kingdom. And having other things becoming a priority. I remember the time of Haggai the prophet. God's people were building their own houses, doing their own thing. And God began to speak and say, consider your ways. Is it time to do your own thing? Build your own houses, shore up your own life? Or is it time to build the kingdom and to be partnering with God in what he is doing? And I would say it's time. It's time to rally together and to come together around what God is doing and play our own part, whatever that part is, to sow into the prayer ministry. All of us are called to that. And to sow into witnessing and building people's lives in truth. So can we just pray together and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to live awake or seeing what God is doing and becoming a part of it? Is that okay? Because I don't want to sort of stand on the sidelines. I want myself personally to be involved, but I also would love every member of this body as part of this church. We're in for this. We're in for this time. So let's pray. Father, first of all, we thank you for every life and every testimony that we heard last Sunday here. But we also want to thank you for this new season in our country, where your Spirit is doing amazing things in the church, but also in the world. That there is this mushroom effect happening, rapid growth, and it's just the beginning. So, Father, we say yes and amen. We give thanks for the work of grace that is happening. But Lord, as your people, we humble ourselves and pray. We ask, Father, and invite you to help us to live stirred up to the things of God. Stirred up to what you are doing and stirred up in our prayer lives. That we wouldn't fall asleep in this day or be devoted to everything else but what you're doing. Lord, today we just say we're in the race to run our race. We're in the kingdom to play a part to see your kingdom come. We're in Christ to see transformation in this generation. We're in for the move of God and the mushroom effect. And we say yes and amen to that, Lord. Help us to add to other people's lives. Help us to be strong in our witness in these days so that we can be an effective part of your plan in changing people's lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. What a great time of prayer. Amen. It's yes and amen, Lord, I'm in. Wonderful. Praise God. We could major on that this morning, but the Lord's put something on my heart because the other aspect we need to be aware of is what the enemy is trying to do. And every new beginning, everything new, everything that God does, always has an opposer called Satan. He always works to go against what God is doing in your life, in your family's life, in your children, and in the people you're witnessing to and praying for, or new believers. So he always wants to work against your destiny in God. So we have an adversary or an enemy or someone who is resisting what God is doing. You remember when Jesus was born? When Jesus was born, Herod rose up to kill all children because Satan wanted to eliminate through that leader God's plan. But God gave a dream to Joseph. He had a speaking from God, a communication from God that shifted him and his family, which was Jesus and his wife, out of harm's way. Because when we're listening to God and walking in the ways he wants, the enemy can't touch us. Every new thing will continue to grow. But we're not unaware of Satan's tactics. The devil's tactics are very clearly defined in Jesus' words, John chapter 10, verse 10. And they are that the thief, that's the enemy, that's Satan, has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you want to know the character of the enemy and his intention in your life and the life of others, it's always to steal, to take the good and make it bad. It's always to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life. And life in all its fullness or more abundantly. So Jesus is the solution to life and living in the abundance of God and all his goodness. But Jesus is really clear that we do have an enemy called this thief in this terminology. He also called him a murderer, a liar. He's the father of all lies. So he speaks lies all the time. It's the way he communicates. He lies about who you are and he lies about God. So that's who the enemy is. And one of the ways that Satan works, and he has been doing it in my life, and I've only just realized it. And I sometimes think about myself, you think I'd know. But sometimes we're just clueless, unless the Lord opens our eyes. So I think since the turn of the year, I have had this work of the enemy going on in the background of my thinking, communicating to me in every which way he can as an underminer. And that's the terminology I'd like to use. He's the underminer of our faith and of who we are in Christ. He wants to undermine you. And there is a... Thank you, that was a bit early, but that's okay. There is a movie called The Incredibles, and some of you who have kids might have watched it. Some of you who are big kids have also watched it. And I think it was written by a Christian, actually. And it's a great family movie. And there is this hatred, this guy, this, actually he's a mole, who hates happiness and peace. And he seeks to destroy it. But he's also a terrorist and a thief. That's his character. And he has this drill with which he wants to destroy lives. And he wants to undermine, dig tunnels under to actually gain access into your life. When you have a tunnel that goes under, you don't know they're there, but suddenly they pop up. And that's how the enemy works. He works in the unseen, tunneling away at your confidence in God, tunneling away at who God says you are. And he pops up and says, I'll take that from you, and I'll take that from you. And he just wants to undermine, ultimately, your faith. Believers need to realize this, is what he's after is your faith. Because faith is the key to the connection that you have with Jesus in your relationship with him, and is the key to seeing his promises happen. Yes, yes, yes. His words come to pass over your life. So he wants to attack faith. And he does this by undermining and suggesting things to you. And how many of you know, not every thought you have is from God? And not every thought you have is from the devil. Some are from the enemy. And some are just natural thoughts. God wants us to renew our minds to think as God thinks. And to believe what God says about us. And so we need what the Bible calls faith. Now, there is this family in the Incredibles movie. And this family is called the Power Family. And they look like an ordinary family in the movie. They're trying to live an ordinary life. But actually, unknown to everybody around them, and at that time that this photo was taken, they weren't using their superpowers. Because every incredible person has superpowers. Can I say that over you in Christ? Every incredible person has superpowers. If you're going to be a superhero, you need superpowers. They were inherent, or they were in possession of these powers, just not using them. Okay? But they heard about what the underminer was doing in the city, and they decided what was needed was their gifts, what God, well, we would call it what God had given them in Christ. And they became the Incredibles. This family was transformed, and they became the Incredibles, who then defeated the underminer.
Brilliant.
That's the goal, is always to defeat the bad guys. And to see the underminer opposed and driven out. And I thought about this movie and I thought, do you know what? It's a great illustration. Because a lot of Christians have power but don't use it. Have resources but have no idea they've got them. And it's time to come into who we really are. So that we can overcome the enemy, overcome the underminer. The enemy works through put downs. Anybody had a put down? He wants to put you down. The Lord always works through lifting. The enemy works by putting you down. And he uses people, sadly, to put you down. Men can put down women. Women can put down men. Parents can put down children. And those words or those disrespect attitudes or those actions communicate to a person, I'm here, you're there. I'm better, you're not so good. Has anybody heard that?
Yes.
I'm the one who's going to be the answer. You're definitely the problem.
Yeah.
Yes. And these, however it comes, whether it's directly from the enemy or indirectly through people, the Word of God tells us our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. So we're not here to fight people. We're here to use our power to come against our real enemy. So how do we overcome the underminer? We're going to look at Judges chapter 6. Please, about Gideon. And I, just for some of you who don't know, Gideon was this guy, belonged to God's people, and he was in kind of a wine press, a threshing wheat, because the enemy had got them in a hole, basically. It didn't matter what God's people were doing, the enemy seemed to always come out on top. This should not be, people. Just let me suggest that. It should not be. But they cried out to the Lord for help because they were in a bad position. And Gideon, he's trying to make a living in the wine press. He's afraid of the enemy. And then suddenly God shows up. The angel of the Lord is like a presence of God himself in that place. Don't you love it that God shows up in those places?
Yes.
When you're hiding away and on your own, mulling over and probably moaning about life, God shows up.
Yes.
And there he is. He says, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all these miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now the Lord has forsaken us, delivered us into the hands of the enemy. The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Come on, Incredibles.
Yes.
Have I not sent you? So Gideon said to the Lord, don't you love the reality of a conversation? This is a prayer. This is a prayer. This is communication. Gideon said to the Lord, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest. I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord ignored him. He didn't have a counseling session at this point. He didn't have a hugging session. He didn't say you need a few years to get over that. He said, I'm here now.
That's it. Yes and yes. Yes.
I'm here now. And I'm telling you who you are. Surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. As if it was just one bloke. And actually, it wasn't by might or power he won, it was by the Spirit. So Gideon, actually, God chooses. You see, God actually picks weak people. Because this is who Gideon is. He's actually weak. It's not a kind of wrong mentality. He is. He's been told he always has been by his mum and dad, because they've been put down for years, and now they put down everybody around them. Because whoever's been put down usually finds somebody else to put down, so they feel better. Is anybody? Do we have anybody in the house? That's normally what happens. But he's lived under these words, and those words actually had power over him because he believed them. You only give power in your life to what you believe. You only give power in your life to what you believe. And he believed he was the weakest and the worst. Bottom of the rung, sole of the shoe kind of guy. Inadequate in every sphere of life. But God chooses the weak to put to shame the strong. God chooses those who are nothing to show that he is everything. Isn't it interesting? God did not choose the strongest guy in Israel. God chose the weakest guy in Israel. So that ultimately Gideon would boast about the Lord, not saying, here I am. I always told you I was skilled. I always knew that I was something. But to show God off. What is the game changer in Gideon's life? Because his yesterdays were failure. What changed everything? God came. And actually, if you've been a Christian for any time, God has come. Past tense. So God is here. The presence of God changes a person. But not just that, it's his presence and what he says about you. Which is why we need him as much as we need his word. His word is his voice. What God says. And you know, the worlds were framed by the word of God. Everything that was made by word. God makes people by word. We are word-made people. He shapes you. He changes you by his word. But not just because he says it, but because you believe it. If Gideon hadn't taken on board that God was with him and that God was going to use him to save people, he would have remained in the wine press useless. I believe, you see, this is almost like what happened last weekend. It was a sign. The old has gone and the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, he is a... It's like Gideon became a new creation. Because all that he was died. All he was naturally, all that he couldn't do, all the failures and all the put downs, they were in the grave. Yes. And behold, I've made all things new in Christ. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, in other words, your old limitations aren't your limitations anymore. Amen. Gideon proves, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart. Gideon had an inner problem that manifests in outer ways. It's how the Lord always sees. It's why he always starts on the inside when he's going to do something in your life. Oh, this is packed with revelation. He always starts on the inside before he'll ever do something in your life. Because he had a, it's only me, and I'm a load of rubbish, and I'm useless, and everybody says I'm useless. I believe it. God says, mighty warrior, I go, really? That's not true about me. My experience tells me that's not true. If your experience tells you more than God says, there's something wrong with your faith. If what your past was, even as Christians to date, even if you've been saved for a long time, if it's your experience communicating to you who you are, it needs changing. See, guilt, we can have faulty beliefs. We have wrong beliefs. We can have old beliefs that we need to get rid of. Some people, you can tell them again and again, God loves you. You are loved, chosen, blessed. They never believe it. Why don't they believe it? Because the image on the inside of who they are hasn't yet changed. Their faith hasn't changed. And the victory that overcomes the world, Scripture says, is our faith. How do you overcome all the undermining effects of Satan? By believing. Believing God and believing what he says about you. And often it's the opposite to what you feel or you see. What God says about you is often so radically different to how you see yourself in that moment. But I have made a decision on who's right about me. And it's God, not me. And if you make that decision as a follower of Jesus that God's right and everything I think needs to line up with what God says about me, because he's always right. And if I'm wrong, well, then I'm wrong and I need to repent or change the way I think and see myself. Are you being helped today? God wants you to overcome every undermining strategy of Satan that has been tunneling away at your confidence and faith in God. Is this speaking to anybody this morning? Because this is what I've just won, and I believe there's power today for us all to win. If we recognize things have to change. And it starts with my believing what God says about me. Amen. The game changer comes from God's presence and hearing his word. Faith comes, Romans 10. Can I have that up just in case? I think we should all read this. Just say, so then faith comes. Oh, go on, say it again. So then faith comes. I love that. If a train's coming, it's coming. On its way. How does it come? It's on its way by the hearing is our hearts. We hear what God is saying. So you could say God showing up with Gideon and saying, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Initially, he wasn't hearing it. But let me tell you, he worked on his hearing. And decided to align with what God said, not what he thought and felt about himself. Not what his parents had said. I'm telling you, parents, listen up. What you say has power over your children. which is why we should be speaking good reports. Your marriages will be as good as the good word you speak, not the put downs, but the liftings up. Come on, the church will rise on the good word of God. Like an army to take the world for Jesus. But we won't do it unless we believe it. And Isaiah 53 starts with, whose report will you believe? It's a choice. Who are you going to believe, Daddy or God? I believe the report of the Lord. Our superpowers, if we go back to the analogy, to overcome the underminer, which is the enemy, are God himself first. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That's the Antichrist, that's the enemy and all his demons. You have, can you read the word have? Not will. Why? Because you're already in Christ, who has overcome. You have overcome them, little children, because, this is the reason, God, let's say it together, he who is in you. I'd like you to say it into your heart. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. God's here. That's the superpower. The superpower is Christ in you. Are you limiting God with your powers? Are you behaving like the Parr family? Natural? And unable to do anything about what the enemy's doing? Or will you put on the mind of Christ, take on what God is saying about you, and start operating in the power of God? Yes. Word. Yes. How are we doing? Right. How are we doing? He is our victory. That's why he can call you a mighty man or woman of victory. Because it's not you, it's him in you. You're not victorious because of you. You're victorious in Christ because of Jesus. And the victorious one lives in you. Which is why anything the enemy has been doing has to stop today. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Some of you have heard these scriptures so long, they've become memory, not faith. Faith comes from? Faith should be coming. I believe it, Lord. When you're hearing this, you say, I believe it. I believe it, Lord. Greater is he that is in me. I have the victory because Christ has won for me all that I need to live in victory. Christ in me is the hope of a victorious life. And I believe it, Lord. I'm a mighty woman of God. I'm a mighty man of God because of Jesus. How are we doing? So faith is coming. He is here. And he is my victory. Let's say that. He's here. And he is my victory. Because of where we're going, the enemy is going to work hard to undermine you. Your working life, people around you at work, your race or your identity, you know, who you are in Christ, they'll try and attack it. The enemy uses people, and really what's important is we forgive people. When I'm attacked, I know the first thing to do with hurt and pain is say, Lord, I forgive. Even if I don't feel it, I'll say it because I want to be on the winning side. I get on the losing side by not forgiving. Nobody wants to get slightly out of kilter with God, do they? So the first thing I do is forgive people. But I don't extend that to the enemy. I go against him. I don't forgive him. Just thought I'd say that. I'm never nice to the enemy. I'm actually more like I'm making a stand. I stand against the enemy. That's what Ephesians speaks about. Stand, therefore, against all the powers. Stand against the underminer. Stand against, resist the devil, and he will flee. But resist him steadfast in the faith. So you need to be steadfast in faith first before you resist him. You know, Gideon went on to champion an army to deliver the whole nation from the enemy. Because he believed what God said. And he went against the enemy. The two things. He believed God and went against what the enemy was doing. It's the secret to overcoming the underminer. Overcoming the underminer. Faith comes from hearing. And you know, it's actually quite hard for me sometimes to believe what God says. Can I be really honest? A few months ago, God said something to me, and I was in a fairly low place, feeling really like, oh, this is just all hard work. Because that's how it feels when the enemy's having a go. You feel, and sometimes you can even think, what's the point? I'm just being honest. Is that okay, Pastor, being honest? And what God said to me, I almost laughed like Sarah. And I never like to laugh at anything God says, because whatever he says is true. And I went, really? So I kind of put it on the shelf and said, I'll see if that's confirmed, Lord. Because I just was like, this is too hard for me to believe what God's going to do in my future. And can I say, if it's not something you need faith for, it's not God. It's what you can do. And we need a move of God, not you. Through you. We don't need you. We love you. But we need the God in you to rise up. Anyway, then I was kind of listening to something and a leader's thing. And the same word came. Felt a bit like Gideon. I'm like, I can't do that, Lord. Really? Can I really do that? And I've just decided to just say, Lord, I need obviously the image on the inside changing. And I'm working on it. I'm not there yet. Sometimes I believe instantly. When I pray, I believe it's done. But for what God's got for me, it's like I'm working with the word and praying and saying, Lord, change how I see and what I see in my future. Help me with this, Holy Spirit. I'm willing to work with you so that I can have faith to do what you've asked me to do. Because without faith, it won't happen. Jesus said, everything is possible for him who... How do you believe? You don't believe without the word of God. And so this came out of a time of studying the word. That's why no word, no victory. Because without the word, you won't win over the enemy. Devote yourself to the word of God, men and women of God in this hour. Because it's the word that will bring the change. On the inside first, and then you'll have power to resist the enemy. I'm nearly finished. But I just want to say about your faith, you just need to keep hearing again and again. And I keep saying this word over and over. Thank you, Lord, you've said. I'm not yet fully there, but I'm working with what God has said. Is this okay?
Yes.
I'm being really honest with you today. Because I believe the enemy has worked to undermine leaders and every believer in this room about the call of God on your life. Because I believe as it happens to the leaders, it happens to people. It's what the enemy's doing. And I just want to encourage you this morning. God is here like he was with Gideon. He's going to say things that contradict your entire history about what he has for you. Your future, our future as a church, where we're going, we're going to have to believe God to see the superpowers. And I don't want to diminish and dishonor the Lord, but his Holy Spirit and his word doing great and mighty things through our lives. In one sense, we have everything. But let me tell you that we go from faith to faith. To faith. Whenever God wants to take new ground, you'll need a new faith that will come from hearing and hearing by the word of God. And James tells us the final thing after you've received faith, and you've got faith for what God says, is to resist the devil, to submit to God, yield to the Lord, and say, I'm yours, but now I'm going against the enemy in the name of Jesus. And I believe this morning, the underminer is about to leave some lives. The underminer is about to flee because we're going to do some resisting of the enemy. I exposed him this morning. The Spirit is here. His presence is here. And whenever his Spirit and word start to work through people's faith, everything is possible. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Tell somebody next to you, I'm an overcomer of the underminer. Say, the Lord is with you, you're more than a conqueror. Say it again, because they didn't believe. And again, go on, you are more than a conqueror. Whatever you're facing, you will conquer. Whatever has been undermining you, you will overcome. Come on, say it. You'll do them good. We're a bunch of incredibles. We've got superpower in Jesus. Christ is in us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We're rising up in our identity in Christ. We are not what we were. We are new creations. All things have passed. All things have become new. If God is for us, come on, let's say it. If God is for us, faith makes you happy. Unbelief and doubt make you miserable. Or trying to work out everything with your head. Don't be head-led. Be spirit-led, word-led. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this morning you see a room of people with Christ in them. You look at us and say, no limits. There are no limits to the one who lives in you. With me, all things are possible. Father, thank you that you help us to lay hold of these truths of your presence. Just as you showed up to change the future in Gideon's life, you show up today to change our future. I believe change is possible because you're here and because your word has been released over our lives in a fresh way. There is power to accomplish that word this morning as we believe. And so, Father, we say we believe your report. Come on, say it out loud. Lord, I believe what you say. I refuse my history of doubts and diminishing put downs. Lord, I believe with you is truth. Your word is true about me. My feelings tell lies sometimes when they don't feel like what you say. My thinking can get all crazy, but Lord, your word is true. I pray that your word will become like a helmet of salvation over our minds, so that we'd be defended and protected with that shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and that we would believe only what you say. That we would believe like Abraham, like Sarah, considering you faithful who promised. You are faithful, Lord. Come on, just tell him how faithful he is. You're faithful to do what you say you will do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.